Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poretz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at myfuturecoach.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here at the studio is 646-929-2893. Again, that's 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page where you can feel free to join in, and I will monitor that for any questions. My guest tonight, Valentina Marino, is an Italian-born singer, composer, and lyricist. After attending Italy's prestigious University of Music in Rome, Valentina traveled west to earn her BFA in vocal jazz performance from the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music in New York City. She's performed all over the metropolitan area alongside some of the best musicians in town at such iconic clubs and music venues at Cornelia Street Cafe, Bar Next Door, the Catano Hotel, Something Jazz Club, the Garage, the Zinc Bar, and Small's Jazz Club, and she's even performed at Carnegie Hall. Her debut album, Philosophy, will be released in 2016, and for more information about Valentina, you can visit valentinamarino.com. Valentina, are you with me?
I am. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. I love saying your name, Valentina. It's just so melodic.
It is a very melodic name, indeed.
A melodic name, a melodic woman, and here you are. We're going to talk about melodies, won't we?
It sounds like a plan.
Yes. So, where are you now?
I am at home, actually.
Oh, nice. And where is home for you?
Home is in Manhattan, Upper East Side.
Mm.
And it's a very rainy evening, so I couldn't go anywhere tonight, and I thought it's just perfect to talk to you at home.
Oh, yes. I am the best person to talk to on a rainy night.
You are.
And they say there might even be a hint of snow, so it looks like they finally might have turned the winter on because we've had ridiculously crazy warm weather here.
It was really insane. I am so happy about the cold weather. I am really happy because it was too much. I was very disappointed about the lack of snow for Christmas. I was hoping to get some snow for Christmas, but it didn't happen. So
a lot of people, their dreams of a white Christmas were dashed.
Of course, we are in New York.
That's right.
This is what we want.
So I would love to get a little bit of background about you. And so obviously, you are not from here. You have a delightful little accent, but it's not a strong accent. It's just right.
Oh, that is quite a compliment. I definitely have an accent.
Yes, you do, but it's more like, oh, where is she from? That she sounds so nice. It's not like somebody like I have to ask you to repeat things. You speak very coolly. You know English as well as almost anybody, but it's clear in your voice. So I'd love to hear about where you're from and how it was for you growing up. And especially in relation to music.
All right. So I was born in Sicily, but I grew up in Rome. 1 week after my birth, my parents, they went back to Rome. So I consider Rome my hometown, although I'm very much attached to Sicily and I try to go there at least once a year. My grandmother, who is still alive, she lives there, and I try to visit her as much as I can, as often as I can. So I come from a very musical family.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, my uncle plays guitar, and my cousins who are like brothers to me, since I am an only child, they play all music instruments. So I grew up in this very musical atmosphere. But interestingly enough, nobody in my family is a professional musician. And actually, they were very much against music as a profession. They didn't. They've never considered music as a career possibility. So,
were you discouraged to do it, or were you like, "Yeah, okay, go do what you want"?
I was very discouraged, and actually, they gave me very specific choices. They, when I had to go to college, my parents said, "Okay, you can either be an engineer, or a doctor, or a lawyer. These are the three possibilities." Music was absolutely out of the frame, out of the picture. But I was, of course, allowed to be a musician as a hobby,
mm-hmm.
but they were very much against it. And in fact, I didn't go to a music college after high school. I studied law, but because I was so enamored with music and with jazz in particular, I had this big dream of studying music. So I enrolled at the University of Music in Rome at the same time. So I was studying law and music at the same time.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, it was just too much. And I was studying very opposite disciplines. So unfortunately, I was forced to interrupt my music studies to get my bachelor in law. I had to sacrifice music,
mm-hmm.
and to become a lawyer and to make my father happy. Basically, this is what happened. So for many years in my life, I used to work in a law firm during the day, and then I used to gig at night. And at a certain point, I just decided to take the freedom to be who I felt I was. I wanted to be a professional singer, so I decided to drastically quit with my day job, and I moved to Austria, to Vienna, where I lived for about 3 years, and there I started singing and, you know, joining jazz bands. And after 3 years, I decided to move to New York City to finish my music studies. And, yeah, and my dream finally came true. And now law is a very old dream. Nightmare, I would say.
Nightmare. Well, you could take the law degree, and now you could sue your parents for making you do that. That's what I
thought. I would never sue them. You know,
I'm just kidding. I'll show you, Mom and Dad. Now I'm a lawyer. Now I'll use that law degree. what are the differences that you find from learning about music in Italy versus learning about music in New York?
Well, it's a completely different story. First of all, New York is really the epicenter of jazz. When I first came here, I came here just to visit. It was 2008. And I remember I went to St. Peter's Church, and for the first time in my life, I discovered the jazz vespers. In other words, there was a priest who was, you know, saying the service, and
mm-hmm.
during the mass, there was an ensemble of jazz musicians playing and swinging, and the priest was, like, shaking his head, and this happened during the mass, and I was like, wow, I was completely... You know, I was in heaven. I said, well, I cannot believe that. This is a church, and there are jazz musicians playing. And then, of course, I went to Harlem,
mm-hmm.
the fabulous gospel choir, and then there was jazz everywhere, in the subway, in front of the museums, on the street. It's something I never experienced. I think it's really unique, and this happens only in New York. Of course, Italy has a huge music background, you know, but I wouldn't say much for jazz.
There yes, I think jazz. Of classical, I think of opera when I think of Italy. I don't think of jazz.
Yeah, but the jazz scene is, you know, it's not even possible to compare it with mm-hmm. what's going on in New York. I find your question very interesting. Your question about the music educational system here. It is very, very different. So I would say that because jazz is really so ingrained here in the culture and in your history that it is something that teachers can really deliver when they teach. It's something that I couldn't experience in Rome when I was at the University of Music in Rome.
But in Rome, would you say that you developed some sort of very basic musical foundation? And how does that foundation help you today?
Definitely I did. Rome is where I started my jazz studies, and I had a very, very good experience. I studied with a terrific vocalist. His name is Fabiana Rosciglione. She's the daughter of a great bass player. And she really introduced me to the foundation of vocal jazz. Then I studied with Marilena Paradisi. These are all, you know, very, very extraordinary vocalists. And I'm very grateful to them because they introduced me to the jazz world. But my real experience with jazz developed in New York City. And, of course, it was not just about the school and the college, but it was about, you know, being surrounded by jazz everywhere.
which is beautiful.
In my daily life,
yeah.
Which was what really made me grow.
But, you know, it also brings up another question, because you've had formal training, not just in music, but in jazz, which I'm going to say that a lot of jazz musicians, maybe less so today than in the old days, but certainly there have been a lot of jazz musicians who are less formally trained or they're self-trained. And what kind of differences do you notice with people? Or do you think that that's an issue? Is it just what it is? I'm not even sure what I'm asking you, but from the point of view, I'm somebody who has very little, you know, I have some very early musical training, and everything else I've ever done musically is self-training. So I'm curious to hear your viewpoint on it as somebody who has been trained.
Well, I think it is not an issue at all. In fact, the majority of my teachers, both here and in Italy, they are all self-trained. I studied with Reggie Workman. I studied with Janet Lawson. I studied with Amy London, and they always told me that when they were young, there wasn't even a jazz college. Jazz universities did not exist in those years, so they learned on their own. They learned, you know, by joining other musicians, and no, it is not an issue at all. I think just things change, and the world evolves, and the educational system develops and turns into something different. But I wouldn't say that. I mean, nowadays, you know, younger people who decide to start a music college, they are absolutely lucky.
Sure.
I think it's a terrific advantage, but I wouldn't consider a self-training as an issue or an impediment to grow as an artist and as a musician. It's just a different way of cultivating the knowledge.
You can even get training in the blues and today. And I don't know if you've ever seen, there was a movie, I think it was called Four Corners, about a young man who makes a deal with the devil to become a great blues player.
Oh, who's the director?
I don't remember the director. It was Ralph Macchio, you know, young from the Karate Kid, was the kid who makes a deal with the devil to become the great blues player. And maybe if it were a later time, he would have said, no, I don't need a deal like that. I'm just going to go to the Conservatory of Blues, you know. But thanks anyway. I got a scholarship, Devil. I don't need that. It'd be no movie.
I would pay the Devil to be my blues trainer.
Oh, okay. Well,
I would.
If he calls me, I'll let him know you're interested in
making
it.
Please do.
Yes. Somehow I don't think you're going to need to make a deal like that. That's my opinion.
Maybe not,
because I have had the pleasure of hearing you sing, although not yet in the full sense of the word, but I have certainly gotten to hear you sing, and I know who you are. So there.
No.
Also, I wanted to ask you about you've performed you've performed all over New York. Have you performed in Europe as well? Correct.
Yes, I performed in Europe as well. Yes.
So
mostly Rome and Vienna.
Ah, okay. What are when you sing in a place? Are the audiences different? Are they more educated about the music? Do they react differently? Or do you find that wherever you go, it's pretty much the same reaction?
I think that with jazz in particular, the audience is pretty much the same. I was very lucky because both Rome and Vienna are people are a lot into jazz. Maybe Austrian more than Romans, I would say. They're very passionate about jazz, and what I really love about this kind of situation when the audience is really into the songs. There is this magic connection. There is this interaction between the musicians or the singer and the audience, which is really, really special, and that really changes everything. Again, in New York, it's interesting what you're asking. I wouldn't say it is different. I wouldn't say it is different. Again, Viennese people, they do love jazz.
Mm-hmm.
It's so romantic. I did a couple of performances in Sicily as well, and the reaction of the audience was really, really, really beautiful. And in New York, again, it's a different probably sensitivity because jazz is so much part of your culture.
Well, what about, for example, do audiences pay more attention in other places, or is it about the same? Are people distracted? I find that New York audiences tend to get very easily distracted.
Do you think so?
I do. It's a very distracted, everybody's so distracted in general, with the cell phones, with the this and the that. And New York, of course, is such a fast-paced city that I think the entire city has ADHD or something, attention deficit disorder. But I'm just curious if it's different elsewhere, and this is just my observation as a New Yorker, that everybody, certainly in the smaller clubs, people are just, you might even talk over you.
Well, this happens pretty much everywhere. I do agree with you when you say that cell phones are very distractive, but unfortunately, they're bad influence. Occurs in different contexts, not only in when musicians are performing music. It very much depends on the kind of room where you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if you're performing in a restaurant and people, are busy eating and chatting,
yeah,
and
sure.
Music really has the role of just a background, and it's very different when you perform in a theater or in a little jazz room. And musicians, they have a responsibility. They really have to connect with the audience and try to make them interested in
yeah.
what's going on. So it is also our responsibility to get distraction far away from, you know, from the room and from what we're doing in that specific moment.
Are there any strategies that you use in particular?
I try to connect with my gaze. I try to tell little stories before I start singing a song. But
mm-hmm.
it happens more on an energetic level. So
yes.
It depends on, you know, on a specific audience and on a specific night. So it's an interaction.
Mm-hmm. So the magic of connection. So Valentina, I was looking at your bio, and one of the things I noticed is that you credit your instructors for a lot of your influence. And I certainly would like to talk about them, but I'd also like to know about some of the influence you have, you know, from growing up or from listening to music, or getting to meet or see the musicians, singers, performances that have helped shape who you are today as a performer. And you can include non-singers, you know, other kind, you know, musicians, guitarists or bass players or what have you.
Well, I've been exposed to a lot of music and really different kind of music. Jazz is something that I approached only later in my life, I would say when I was in high school. But before that, I was exposed to a lot of Italian pop music, of course. And one of the, starting from the Italian pop music,
sure.
Vocalists, my parents used to listen to very, very frequently. Was and still is Mina. Mina is her name. She's a singer with a terrific voice who actually recorded a lot of jazz songs, but the songs by Mina we were listening to in my house, in the house where I grew up, were not jazz songs. So a lot of Italian pop music, and then a lot of music from the 70s. And Janis Joplin, Bob Dylan, Beatles, of course, and mm-hmm. Rolling Stones. And as I was mentioning before, I grew up in a very musical family, so there were always guitars and pianos in the house, and we were gathering together and sing and play. My idol when I was in middle school was Bruce Springsteen.
Really?
I had a huge crush on this guy, and he was really one of my icons. And when Born in the USA came out, I was so madly in love with this man wearing blue jeans and playing guitar, and I could spend hours with my best friend, whose name is Valentina, actually, listening to The Boss. And then, of course, music of the 80s, you know, this is when I was born, so I grew up with this kind of music, and a lot of disco music. So there was a time in my life where I was really in love with electronic music. So, you know, a lot of different influence. Then this huge passion for jazz.
You remember a specific moment where something kind of clicked for you?
Yeah. It was the first time I listened to Ella and Louis Armstrong singing duet. I had this memory engraved in my brain. I would never forget. And I started listening to. I think it was Dream a Little Dream of Me.
Okay, really?
I think
okay.
This was the title of the song. It was a record containing different songs, and this was one of them. So I was captured immediately by Louis Armstrong's voice, this deep voice, and then, of course, Ella, and the way these voices melt. And, of course, when they started improvising, it was just heaven. My ears.
Okay, you be Ella, I'll be Louie. You could be Ella, I'll be Louie.
Remember the dream of me, Baba doesn't be the day.
It would be very, very hard to reproduce that kind of atmosphere now on the phone, but yeah, you did a great job. You did a great job.
Oh, thank you very much.
And singing the way Louie did.
I was very, by the way, very fortunate to have seen Ella perform first with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Count Basie.
Amazing.
And then I saw her just not long before she passed away with one of her last concerts at Radio City. And still, I mean, amazing, even towards the end, an amazing instrument. But, you know, I never got to see Louis live. But do you know that his house is, you can go visit him?
I went there, actually.
Beautiful.
Queens.
That's one
of
my favorite places to go. Okay.
Oh, I actually went three times. And just to go specifically and inside the room that he used as his studio, and you can
mm-hmm.
still listen to the real recording because he used to record, you
yes.
know, not only music, but some of his thoughts, and, you know, he used the tape recorder as a way to write out notes. Instead of writing out notes, he would record. And, yeah, I remember when I went there for the first time, I was in that room, and I closed my eyes, and I listened to his voice, and it felt like it was there. It was almost surreal. It was amazing. Yeah, I love that place. I love that place. And they do have a little garden outside.
Yes, his garden.
With live jazz performance from time to time. I was
yes.
not fortunate enough to be there when musicians were performing, but I do know that they play there.
Yeah, I went to one one concert of, but it was like a high school, these high school kids who went on, who did this jazz intensive. It was like a 4-week summer program or a 6-week summer program, and at the end they all perform at Louis's house, actually Louis's house. He actually preferred to be called Louis, but everybody says I do too. But and they performed, and they were terrific. This I couldn't get over, these kids who were just together for a few weeks, and it was gorgeous.
I've heard of those performances, yeah, and that place is really magical. So going back to your question,
yes.
who are the musicians or artists who influenced me?
Yes.
So Ella and Louis, talking about jazz specifically, I would say Ella Fitzgerald, of course. But then there are so many vocalists I, you know, started listening to in high school. They're really countless. I love Carmen McRae, Nina Simone, of course. Anita Day, Peggy Lee, there are so many. As you said before, some of my instructors at the new school, they had a huge influence on my artistic growth. One of these is definitely Janet Lawson, amazing vocalist and scat singer. And she's... she's not only my mentor, she's a dear friend. We became so close, and what she offers to her students, it's amazing. She has this gift of, she can really share her knowledge about jazz, about music, you know, without limits. It's a very rare quality.
Mm-hmm.
And people who had the fortune to study with her are very, very, you know, they're very lucky. She really influenced me a lot. And I would say Coltrane, John Coltrane.
Mm.
And
how did Coltrane influence you?
She influenced me mostly because of his spiritual approach to music and to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say another musician who had a kind of similar influence on me is Herbie Hancock, for the same reason. You know, these men were highly spiritual and who offered this spirituality in their music, in their art.
Well, considering that you came to New York and you walked into the jazz church.
Exactly. And I actually had the pleasure to meet Herbie Hancock in person. It was at Barnes & Noble for the presentation of his, I believe his last book, which is called Possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there with a friend of mine, and I had the pleasure to meet him and talk to him, and he's an extraordinary human being, and extremely humble, extremely simple. And then you listen to his music and you cannot believe that that music comes from the same person you're talking to. Yeah.
So now if we were to, I'm going to ask you a couple of, I like to say, time machine questions. So we go in a time machine, we visit younger Valentina. What would might be the difference from all the influences that have gone on if we first heard you singing jazz when you started today? Till today, what would we notice?
If I started singing jazz many, many years ago?
Yeah, when you first started singing jazz, and so you've had now all these different kinds of influences since then. And I'll tell you what I'm getting at. Like if you ever listen, I'm sure you've listened to Sarah Vaughan, right?
Of course.
So if you listen to early Sarah Vaughan, you might hear in her voice Billy Eckstein.
Of course.
I heard, and when I hear you listen to young, when she's first really getting into the jazz scene, and I was listening, somebody played me a record of hers, and I said, you know, she kind of reminds me of Billy Eckstein here. And she said, it's so funny you would say that because, you know, that was her mentor. And I hadn't known that at the time. And later, it's different. Her singing became, you know, she incorporated other things and she became, you know, more free to be who she wanted to be. But if you listen to her early, there's some present in her voice, the very specific influence of her mentor. So I'm just curious if there's, like, maybe you don't even know. You might have to go and listen.
So you're asking if I could go back in time, which were my influences,
how do you sound different, not just from, you know, your voice, you know, maturing, but I mean your style, your influences from and all the experience, what would you say might be the differences in how you sing?
Well, I would say that I'm trying to think specifically of some vocalists. So thinking about my how I sounded when I first started singing, I would say that maybe Heather Waters was my biggest influence.
Okay.
And
that's a good start, yeah.
And today, Norma Winston, Diana Krall.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very good choice.
I don't know if I answered your question.
That's pretty good.
The way I approach jazz is very different. And if I had to be a vocalist many, many years ago, when Sarah was a vocalist, probably my biggest influence would be maybe piano players rather than vocalists. Maybe,
sure.
Maybe Strayhorn. Yeah, I would say maybe Billy Strayhorn, Duke Ellington.
Now, speaking of Billy Strayhorn, do you mind if I tell this little story?
Please go ahead.
Okay, so I had the rather amazing experience of walking in the street going from one club to another club to drop in and do a little singing. To walk with Valentina Marino in the streets of New York on a rainy night, and this, and you started it, I think, or I said something that, and you said, "Oh, let's sing that," and all of a sudden we were walking in the street singing the from beginning to end, "Lush Life," yeah. Billy Strayhorn's song, and not just did we sing it, but we sang it in key. I was like, I'm going to say that's probably the first time any two people have walked through the streets of New York City singing Lush Life. Like, I don't think there's a singing in the street song that I would think of.
I think you also tried some harmonies, didn't you?
I think there was a little bit of harmony involved, yes. I can't help but harmonize when I hear a singer. I'm always willing to do that.
That was a very precious experience. I'll never forget that. That was really something. That was really unique.
Yes, yeah. And I look forward to you becoming so famous that I get to tell people, I sang Lush Life with her in the street once.
That is
very
Lush
cool.
Life. Lush Life is and will always be one of my favorite tunes. Yeah. And every time I think that Billy Strayhorn was so young when he wrote it, I still cannot believe it.
A teenager, right?
He was 17 or 18. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
A point of view to have to come to. And this is my last question before I would like to talk about your album. But this is my second. I'm lending you my time machine. Well, I would, but it's in the shop, but it will be back last Tuesday. So my time machine, you can borrow it to go back and hear a concert of your choice.
Okay.
What you know, if you're really nice, I'll give you two concerts because I have a lot of gas in the time machine. I'll have to see how much plutonium I could get, but yeah, why not?
Wow, it is very, very, only three concerts. Well, I would say starting from the a most contemporary artist, I regret so much I never had the neck to hear live Tina Turner.
Mm.
This is one of my biggest regrets. So
Tina Turner?
Tina Turner live, yes.
But isn't she still singing?
She's not singing anymore.
Oh, she stopped? I did not know that.
She stopped singing. Yeah, she stopped singing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Not too long ago. Yeah, so this is who I really would love to go listen to. And then Ella, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I don't want to give you a third jazz name.
That's okay.
So... The Beatles.
Oh, I'm so glad that you are because I'm going this way. I know I can have somebody to go with now, but I just have to wait for the time.
You're going.
Absolutely, that's my first choice is the Beatles. I have Beatles and Elvis, and then I haven't decided on the third.
It's very hard because you only give me three choices, you know, because I...
Well, I might be able to get a couple of bonus rides. Okay, two more.
Two more?
I'm giving you two more concerts. I'm very generous tonight with my time machine.
You know what? This might surprise you, but you're probably, I know we say, I'm not allowed to say jazz names, right?
You could say whatever you want. This is, this is your time machine trip. I'm simply providing the vehicle that I bought from Stewie Griffin.
I would have loved to see a live performance by the Boswell Sisters.
The Boswell
Sisters. The Boswell Sisters.
Wow.
Three sisters. sisters from New Orleans. And I happened to listen to them when I first learned the tune, there'll be some changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to their rendition. I said, wow, wow, what a band.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, they're well known, but they're not as famous as other jazz vocalists.
No, yeah, I'm familiar with them, absolutely. That is an interesting choice.
And I think one of the three sisters was on a wheelchair, if I remember properly.
Mm-hmm.
She had a very interesting story. And I researched a little bit about her life, and I was really fascinated by their personalities and their background. So, yeah, it would be very interesting. And then, of course, the concert with the Duke Ellington Orchestra would be priceless.
Oh, yeah.
Priceless. And then I would say David Brubeck.
So I'm just going to make you really, really jealous right now. The only I never saw the Beatles. I have seen two of them. I've never seen the Boswell sisters, but I have seen Brubeck. I've seen Ella.
Really?
I've seen what was the other one? It was one other one you mentioned.
Well, I said Tina Turner.
I never saw Tina Turner. I don't think I ever saw Tina Turner, but I did see Brubeck. And didn't you just say another jazz?
I said the Duke Ellington Orchestra.
I did see the Duke Ellington Orchestra, but
oh, wow.
I don't think Duke was he still alive at the time? I'm not sure. I know I saw them. I guess my parents were wonderful about taking us to everything in jazz, and so I grew up seeing almost every great name you could imagine, often in the same night.
Did you listen to Take Five live?
Of course.
Oh, wow. You really made me jealous.
Yes.
This is a song I am so in love with, and this is actually another song I grew up with.
Yeah.
I was in Italy, and I always tell these stories because it made me think about my father. And there was this radio show in Italy that started at 7 in the morning. So this was the time when I had to get up, to wake up and get up to go to school. And as the majority of children, I never wanted to go to bed at night, and I never wanted to wake up in the morning. So my dad came to my room, knocked at the door. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. I said, no, I want to stay in bed. So he turned the radio on. And here I started listening. And that was Take Five, waking me up every single morning at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And this was the radio show my father used to listen to. So I love that song.
Wow.
And it's one of the songs that I like to sing the most. Then they wrote lyrics to this song. I think it was Carmen, in fact, right?
I don't know. I've never heard the lyrics to it.
Yeah. And, so Dave Brubeck. If I had a time machine, I would definitely go to hear him live. And you are so lucky. You're so lucky.
I am. I count my blessings all the time when it comes to, especially... to having Mingus I saw, and Stan Kenton, Stan
wow.
Getz, Toots Thielemans, and I have so many stories. So, yeah, that's why I always ask people questions like that. Talk about, you have a album that's going to be coming out in 2016, and it's called Philosophy.
That's right, yes.
They love Sophie. So there's a big loves in the middle of philosophy. There's loves. So and please forgive me for I call it an album because I'm so old school. When I grew up, we had LPs. Tell me the story that caused you to create this particular album.
What are you referring to, the title or to the album?
Yes, the title and then the theme. You talk about it. It's, you know, in the bio that's on your webpage at valentinamarino.com, there is a, in the bio you talk about some of the themes of it, but I'd like to hear it from your mouth.
Yeah, so, well, why the title? Why she loves the theme? I've always had a huge interest for philosophy since I was a teenager. I read a lot. And I think there is something very special about philosophy as a kind of religion to me. I'm not religious, probably, because I'm not a religious person. I try to have access to different, you know, stores of knowledge, to look for answers.
Yes.
So I've always been addicted to philosophy. And I've always been addicted to love. I love love. Can I say that? I love love. For how much I love it.
There's a song called My Baby Loves Love. You just made me think.
Exactly. And Valentina loves love. And so I wanted to put together these two big, you know, passions in my life, love and philosophy. And actually, the title came to my mind one day very spontaneously. It was like a kind of inspiration to create a play on words. And actually, the original idea was to have the album title written like "Feel Love, So Feel" and "So Feel." So, like, is it, if I wanted to say "Feel the Love, So Feel"? In other words, mine wanted to be an invitation to feel the love, to get in touch with this feeling, to open up all the channels.
Sure.
To feel the love. So this is how "Feel Love" came to my mind. This is my very first album. I've never released a record before. I recorded demos, of course, but never a complete album. And it's a record that was born in New York City. I wanted it to be born here. It's a collection of jazz songs. There are a couple of standards. One you might like a lot, I have a feeling, is Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, I should hate you, but I love you. That one, yeah.
Yeah, Cyril Harlan, who is one of my favorite composers. And then there is a tune by Peggy Lee called In the Name of Love. So these are the oldest jazz standards that are on the records. And then the other jazz tunes are more contemporary. We recorded some tunes by the great Robert Doro. Love Came on Stealthy Fingers and I Want to Prove I Love You. And then there are a couple of originals of mine. And of course, like the title suggests, all the songs are about love and they're about philosophy. They're about like universal messages in relation to human experiences.
I'm thinking I should play, I have a few samples here.
Oh, that would be nice.
So let's see. Which of these did you? I want to place a little piece of something you wrote. But did you write Three Little Birds?
No, this is a song by Bob Marley.
Which is
Marley,
the song you wrote that you wrote?
That I on the records there is a song called You.
And you wrote that?
This is a song that I wrote. Yes, this is a song that I wrote. I wrote the music and the lyrics. And then there is a ballad called Go Through that I wrote. I wrote music and lyrics. And Three Little Birds is a song by Bob Marley that I completely rearranged and that I recorded just using my voice, trying to imitate music instruments. But in reality, it is just my voice. It's just vocal layers.
So let me start with, I'm going to give like a minute of this piece of song by you. I wanted to start with a song by you, so why not a song called You that's by you?
All right.
Okay, here we go. Valentina Marino with You. Kind of making me think at the I wanted to stop. I can just want to give enough to get excited, but I was starting to think of car horns from the brass starting to come in.
That was a fun song to record.
Yeah, it sounded like it was fun.
Yeah, you stopped it when Alberto P. Beery was about to take a solo on the road. It's a very funky song. It's a song about, you know, a love relationship that ended.
Mm.
And it's actually, well, all the songs that I write are actually songs based on true stories, on true life experiences. But what was interesting about this song is that I wrote about something and then something happened after I finished writing the song. So the song is the story of course, a couple that breaks up, and she's obsessed by the thought of this ex always coming back to her mind, and she doesn't want it. But he comes back to her mind, and it's a kind of obsession, and she tries to get rid of this. And it's very difficult because you, once again, out of the blue, you break into my mind, tiptoe step inside like a ghost in the most invisible way. So the song is about this obsession and the attempt of this woman to, you know, try to get rid of her ex. So... And it's very funny because I was, as I was telling you, I was trying really to get rid of all these ancient memories about the past. And the song, I wrote this thing about what I call a very much ex.
Mm.
You know, those ex who are really ex, like many, many
yes.
years ago. So
yes.
they're not their last exes, but a very far ex from the past. So when I finished the song, and this literally happened the day after, you know, I finished the song. I went to Harlem. I had to sing there. I had to play a gig. And all of a sudden, someone called me from the audience, and this was my ex, like, from 10 years ago.
Wow.
He showed up out of the blue after 5 years we haven't talked, and I haven't seen him. And he showed up from the audience and said, "Hi." I said, "What are you doing here? I haven't talked to him in 5 years." So sometimes I think, like, we write songs, and then what we write about sometimes
you manifested
materializes. Yes. This was a very intense experience, very funny. So from now on, I think, okay, before I start writing a song, I have to be very careful because I don't want that what I write really happens in reality. I really have to be very careful. But yeah, that was a very fun song to record. And
well, you know, Valentina, sometimes love can come on stealthy fingers.
Oh, that's another song that we recorded. Yeah.
Thank you.
love came on stealthy fingers and took me by surprise. I fell against my wishes, though I was wise. Oh, so wise. Oh, love to me was not a total stranger. I've seen it come and go and come again. I know the sweetness.
Let's just make me think I can't wait to hear the rest of this.
You know, I'm very happy that you decided to play this song after you, because there is a connection between the two songs. So
I know, I heard it. That's why I thought of doing that.
Yeah, I'm very happy you played this one, because You is a song about, you know, a relationship that went wrong, and, you know, it's a song about breaking with the past. And Love Came on Stocky Fingers is actually a song about the present and the future. It's a song about, you know, being able to fall in love again after all the trials and errors of relationships that went wrong. It's one of my favorite tunes, and Bob Dura wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful song. We decided to rearrange it because the song was originally born as a ballad, as a jazz ballad. And after having discussed this with the producer of the record, who is Cameron Brown, a great bass player, Cameron Brown, said, you know what, I would like to try it as a swing tune. Let's see if we manage. And yeah, I'm very happy about the final result. So the song is about, you know, being surprised by love knocking at the door again when you're not expecting this to happen.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, believe it or not, we only have two minutes left.
Oh, I can't believe it.
I know.
Time is already over. Yeah,
so,
it really flew.
I'm going to give a little bit of just one piece of song. I'll give you a choice of In the Name of Love or Three Little Birds.
Well, do the Three Little Birds, because we have talked about love already.
Okay. Three Little
Birds. And we want to talk about philosophical messages, and just we want to leave our audience with this beautiful invitation, you know,
yes,
to take it easy and don't worry about a thing.
In fact, what I'm going to do,
it's going to be all right.
What I'm going to do, Valentina, is I'm going to play this as we're going out the door, sort of. That's what I think. And I'm sorry for the. I noticed there's a caller. We didn't get a chance to talk to your caller. But I'm going to say thank you, Valentina, so much for being with me tonight. This hour flew by. I wish I had more time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And again, you can learn about Valentina at valentinamarino.com. Look for her album. Say the name.
She loves Sophie.
That's right. It'll be coming out in 2016. And I'll tweet about it, certainly, at Coach Andrew. And we're going to play you off with a little bit of Three Little Birds by Valentina Marino.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
You're
good
welcome.
Night.
Good night.
Don't.